Hello and welcome to Bible 101. Please enjoy our Bible 101 series as we explore Genesis through Revelation. Also, listen to our roundtable discussions as myself, Greg Ross, and Eric Feeman talk about the major theological discussions of the Bible. Also, enjoy some of our interviews and Apostolic Apologetics series. We thank you so much for listening. Please let us know what you think by emailing BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. That's BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. And also leave a comment to let us know what you think. Thank you for listening. Hello and welcome to a walk through the Word of the Lord. My name is Jordan and we are continuing our series. This is lesson number 6. So we're going to be getting into Cain's family line and also Seth's family line. So that is the goal for today. But let us begin with a word of prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to study the word of the Lord. Speak to us, we pray today. Bind every distraction. Help us to focus on your word. Lead us to that portion of the word that would be of great benefit to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so just a brief review. We talked about the Old Testament. There's 39 books. How you can remember that is the word old has 3 letters in it. The word Testament has 9. Put that together, it's 39. It covers about 3,600 years of history. It is inspired of God. There were somewhere around 32 writers, but there's really only one author. It's absolutely inspired of God. There's 4 sections of our Old Testament. We got the books of Law, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Joshua through Esther's the books of history. Job through Song of Solomon's the books of poetry. Isaiah through Malachi is the books of prophecy. The Bible says prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. The holy men of God spake as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. That's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21, I believe. And then we got into the creation, how God took it a day at a time, much like with our lives. We want God to fix it all at once, but that's not the way that God operates. He took it a day at a time. First thing he did is just said, let there be light. He exposed the mess, which is much like what he does in our lives. Light means revelation in the word of the Lord. And the Bible says Jesus came to bring light, but it says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So a lot of people don't like the light. And so once they realize that the light is going to expose their sin, they walk away from it. We mentioned the fact that, you know, on day one, the light and darkness were divided. Day two, the firmament or the sky, in other words, was created. There was a division of water. And so that word divide is a very important word. Day three, dry land, seas, grass, herbs, trees, but it says, let the earth bring forth. The seed will be in itself. Let the trees bring forth. So God in his creation, he gives everything its own creative potential when God creates something. And then day four, sun, moon, and stars, which was given for days, seasons, and years. We mentioned the fact that God does not do things like we do it. He didn't even create time until day four. Day five, we have the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. And then day six, we have the animals and man. I mentioned the fact that what makes man unique is not the fact that we're made out of the dust of the ground. We're all made out of the dust of the ground. Animals were, and so are we. But what makes us unique is that we are created in the image of God. We mentioned that's basically 3 reasons for that. Number one, our body was made in the image of him who was to come. Adam was created, the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter number 5. It says he was a type of him who was to come, pointing toward Jesus. In fact, Adam is called the first Adam. Jesus is called the last Adam in Scripture. And then, so on day 6, what's interesting is, on the 7th day, God rested. That's called the number of completion, 7. It's God's perfect number. Well, man was created on day 6, so man without God is incomplete. So we mentioned that. And then in the last couple of lessons, we've been talking about Adam and Eve, but we've also been talking about, in the very last lesson, Cain and Abel. And so I'm going to jump right into this because where we ended, Cain dwelt just east of Eden in the land of Nod, which means wandering, which I'm not so sure was a literal place, but is a place of constantly wandering, just meaning that he was like a homeless person, constantly wandering around. Didn't mean he didn't try to live places. Didn't mean he didn't build cities. We read that he did build a city, but he could never be satisfied. He was a wanderer, constantly moving around, because without God, that's what you're going to be in your life, constantly wandering through life, trying to find a solution, trying to find happiness, and yet your happiness never comes. And so we're going to pick up right where we left off. It says, the Bible says he dwelt east of Eden. He could see in sight. the presence of the Lord, where his parents used to be with God, used to walk with God, but he was forced to constantly dwell just east of Eden. And so now we're going to begin with Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 16. And I want you to follow along with me in the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 4 verse 16 says this, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech." So here we go. We have, so Cain has a son. He names him Enoch. Enoch has a son, names him Irad. Irad has a son named him Mahujael. Mahujael has a son named Methusael. Methusael has a son named Lamech. And we're going to find out that Cain's family line did not get better. It got worse. Verse 19, "And Lamech took unto him two wives." So something interesting is that in the Old Testament, you're going to read a lot about polygamy. There were men that had multiple wives, but this did not mean that God approved of the practice. If you want to know what God thinks about it, just look at the requirements of a bishop and look at the requirements of a deacon in the New Testament, where Paul was writing to Timothy and Titus, and he said the requirements are that they be the husband of one wife. So it was never the will of God for them to have multiple wives. In fact, he made Adam and Eve, not Adam, Eve, and Sarah, and so on and so forth. He only made one man, one woman, and that was his will. And the Bible says that it's the will of God for a man to leave his father and mother, to cleave to his wife, not wives. But who began this practice of polygamy? Well, it was Cain's family line, Lamech. And it gets worse than that. For times, I do understand Abraham had multiple wives. I do understand Jacob had multiple wives. I do understand David had multiple wives, and so on and so on and so on. But that was not God's ideal plan. In fact, if you read in the book of Acts, chapter number 17, I believe it's verse number 30, "In these times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." There was a time that God overlooked certain things. However, did not mean that he approved of it. So let's get back to this. It says, "The name of the one was Adah." Again, this is Genesis 4:19. "And the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwelt in tents, and as such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all as such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer of brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives," now watch this, this is what I want you to notice. Again, this is verse 23. "Adah and Zillah, hear my voice. Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt." Now watch. So I'm going to read that very carefully, and I want you to notice something. "Hearken into my speech, for I have slain a young man to my wounding." So in other words, he said, I killed somebody in self-defense. Then he says, "and a young man to my hurt." So once again, it seems as if he's saying, I killed them both in self-defense. But remember, what you do in moderation, your children are going to do in excess. So Cain killed one man. Here's Lamech. He's killed two men. But watch his attitude. Now remember, what happened to Cain when God set a mark, when he killed his brother? The Bible says God set a mark upon him. And I mentioned the fact this was not a blessing. While it did keep people from killing him, it also meant he was reserved for God's destruction, for God's judgment. But watch Lamech's attitude about this. "If Cain," this is verse 24, "if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." So he's saying, well, if Cain would never be killed, and if somebody did kill him, it'll be avenged sevenfold, then I'll be avenged 77-fold, almost as if he's looking at this like it's a blessing rather than the curse that it really was. So his family line has really gotten messed up. But I want you to picture in your mind how Adam and Eve felt at this moment. Now, they were still alive. We're going to read that. They've been watching Cain's family line. They realized their good son Abel was killed. And they're sitting back and they're watching Cain's family line get worse and worse and worse. And they could have wallowed in self-pity and failure. They could have spent the rest of their lives crying and weeping over the mistakes they made in their past. But that's not what they did. Verse 25, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth." Now, Adam and Eve could have given up, but they said, you know what? Abel died. Cain's family line is corrupt. Let's have another baby. And can I speak to somebody today? Don't wallow in your past failures. Get up and try again. And this is what it says, Seth. Now, the name Seth is a very interesting name. Seth is a type of Jesus Christ. His name means substitute. Okay? And why did she call him this? Watch. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. So she says, God's given me a substitute. Jesus Christ is our substitute. He died in our place. So Seth is a type of Jesus Christ. But watch what happens. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So there was something about the birth of this child, Seth, that caused men to start calling upon the name of the Lord. This is debated about what this might mean exactly, but can I give my opinion? One man said opinions are kind of like armpits. He said everybody has one and they all stink. So what is interesting here, though, is it says men started calling on the name of the Lord. It's like the birth of this child restored a hope in mankind. And so we're gonna look at Seth's pure family line now. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. I'm going to read quickly because there's some things I want to get to. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Now, that's what's interesting. Somebody says, well, where did Cain's wife come from? Well, the Bible says Adam had sons and daughters. So clearly, not all of his sons are named, and not all of his daughters are named. In fact, none of his daughters are named, but it's very possible that back then it was the only option that Cain took a wife that was his sister. And back then, this was before the giving of the law. So back then it was not against the law of God. Okay. And then, this is what it says, verse number 5, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. Can I say this? Adam lived a long time after his failure. Remember, the Bible says, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And I already mentioned an animal shed its blood, but the animal could not completely atone for sin. And so it could not restore completely man's fellowship with God. Although, We're going to find out later, God's going to make a provision in the law. But in order for man to dwell with God then, it would have to be a continual shedding of blood, and they couldn't come too close to God. So more on that later. Verse 6, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Now, what's interesting about that is we're going to read a little bit later that you're going to see some similar names in both of the family lines. It's almost like the Bible juxtaposes the two. Okay, it says, and begat Enos, and Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years, and he begat sons and daughters. All the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. So I'm going to kind of skip through here at this point, but you notice a pattern here. Live, begot, died. Live, begot, died. Live, begot, died. But in the midst of all of the monotony, in the midst of all these people that apparently did nothing that the Bible felt deemed more detail being given to their life, notice verse let's read verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, what does this mean? What it means is he was translated. So can I use the word raptured? So here's Enoch walking with God. That meant that he had a relationship with God. Now remember, that was God's intent in the very beginning, was for Adam and Eve to dwell in his presence and for him to be able to walk with them. But we see throughout all this time, the relationship has been marred. But now we've got a man by the name of Enoch that somehow, in the midst of all the monotony, in the midst of all these people that apparently was doing nothing worth writing about, Enoch walks with God, and it meant so much to God that God just said, you know what? There's a coming judgment coming. you know what? I'm going to take you out of this world. I like what my grandpa used to say about this. He said, Enoch walked with God and God said, you know what? I've revealed too many secrets to him. I better take him home. And so that's exactly what happened. He got so close to God. One man put it this way. He said, Enoch got so close to God that God said, well, you might as well come on into heaven. You're so close to me already. And in fact, what's interesting is some people believe that because Enoch did not live a normal, die a normal death, and Elijah did not die a normal death, that there'll be the two witnesses recorded in the book of Revelation. But, you know, that's another subject for another time. I tend to believe it's going to be Moses and Elijah. But anyways, that's just a side note. That's not really important for our discussion. I just find it interesting. And it says, watch the next verse. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now, here's something that's very, very interesting. If you do the math on Methuselah, and you study from the time he was born to the time he died, he is the oldest man in the Bible, 969 years. But what's interesting is you can do the math and find out he died right before the flood. Some people have even tied Methuselah's name, and there's different things about this, but some people have tied his name to meaning when I die, the flood comes. So really there was the prophecy of Methuselah that as long as he was alive, people knew they were safe. When he died, that's when the judgment's coming. So God not only honored Enoch's walk with God, but he blessed his children. And can I say this? You can have a godly heritage. If you'll live for God, you never know. It might get in the heart of your kids, and God might bless them, and they might be used of God to a great extent. So again, what you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. That works for the good, and that works for the bad. But one thing I want to point out about Enoch quickly is I want to read a verse of scripture. Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Chapter number 11. So Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. So we're going to read Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. There's that word faith again. Remember, trusting God, believing in him, taking him at his word. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So notice, Enoch had a relationship with God. He pleased God in the midst of all of the world that was, can I put it this way, going to hell in a handbasket. Here's Enoch living in such a way of righteousness and holiness, and he got God's attention so much that he said, you know what? I'm not going to pour my judgment upon you. I'm just going to go ahead and take you home. All right, we'll come back to that in a later lesson. So let's keep going here. Now we're going to go back to Genesis chapter number 5, and we're going to read verse number 28. Genesis 5, verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he's called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now notice, they're still having to deal with this curse. A long time's gone by, but they're still having to deal with the curse. Can I just say it this way, that your sin, once again, affects more than just you. I've said this multiple times. It can affect your children. It can affect those long after you. I'm not talking about that I believe in family curses, but I'm talking about the fact that that your sin can affect others in your family down through the family line, just kind of like an alcoholic. You know, their children have to grow up in that atmosphere, and then they start to normalize it in their mind and think, well, this is the way things are supposed to be because that's the way my parents were, and I just can't get over it. You know, it kind of reminds me of a story, and I'm sure you've probably heard this story. It's a very familiar story to many people, but there was this man that was an alcoholic that was homeless on the street, and he had two children, and, you know, he died, and they went and looked up both of his kids, and one of them was, a very successful lawyer that was making great money, driving a very fine vehicle, living in a very fine house, and they looked him up, and they said, you know what, when your dad was an alcoholic and homeless and everything else, and a drug addict, like, how did you wind up like this? He said, well, with the kind of dad that I had, How could I do anything else? Well, they looked his other son up, and their other son was homeless, was a drunkard, was an alcoholic, was a druggie. And when they looked him up, they said, well, how did you wind up in this condition? He said, well, with the kind of dad I had, how could I do any different? So really what it comes down to is the choice is up to you. You can blame your parents. You can blame those after you. But while that is being said, I will say this. I do believe our lifestyle can affect our children for the good or for the bad. And so what it says is, verse 30, Lamech lived after he begot Noah 590 and 5 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right, Genesis chapter number 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, there's a couple of different discussions about what this could mean. Did it mean that the average lifespan changed? Because before this, it's, 800, 900 years. And now all of a sudden he's saying 120 years. I believe that's probably what it means. Some people say that from the day God spoke this, there was 120 years went by before the flood came. Both are possible. Okay. But one thing about it is, I believe that the average lifespan of an individual was somewhere around the 120 year mark. Some died much younger than that. Some died actually a little bit older. We'll get into some of that maybe a little bit later. But God said the reason for this is, he said, my spirit will not always strive with man. He said, I can't keep putting up with this. Man just kept getting worse and worse and worse. All right. Now, what did it mean that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose? It could be speaking of polygamy, okay? Could be speaking of the fact that they just marry whoever they want to marry. Some have said angels are in view here. My opinion, and again, I've got an opinion just like everybody else. It's my podcast, so I'm going to put my opinion out there. I believe what it is, remember, we've got two family lines going on right now. We've got the family line of Cain. We got his family line that is corrupt. It's becoming more and more and more wicked. Now we've got Seth's family line, which is a pure family line. But what I believe happened is Seth's family line started marrying into Cain's family line. And then there was a blurring of the two here. And so what happened is God said, he sees this and he says, I cannot strive with man. He says his day is only going to be 120 years. And then the verse number 4 says this, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children of them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And then it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wow, now that's quite the statement. So remember, sin grows. That's another principle I want to teach. I mentioned the fact sin caused separation between us and God. It brings shame. It brings death. It brings a curse. But also something else is that sin grows. It grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we've gone from one sin, Adam and Eve eating from one fruit. Now what we're seeing is we've gone from one sin to where man literally cannot think a positive thought. His thoughts are evil continually. And it says, and here's some very strong words. Verse number 6, and it repented the Lord. Means God had a very deep regret. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That's quite the statement. When God loved Adam and Eve so much, he killed an animal in their place. And now it says he's repenting that he even made man. And it says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But thank God for verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm very thankful for this. You know what? Grace is not just a New Testament concept. We constantly think of grace as, grace is New Testament and law is Old Testament. No, grace was in the Old Testament. What does it mean? There's several things grace could mean. But basically what one man said, and you can look it up in Webster's dictionary. I think it's Webster that says God's unmerited favor. What it really means is, Noah was saved by God's grace. He had a relationship with God, yes, but God didn't have to save him. God didn't owe him salvation, but God showed grace to Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Again, in the midst of everybody going wicked, God had one man. And this is a principle you're going to see throughout the scripture. In the days of Enoch, God has one man. In the days of Noah now, God has one man. All right? And from this point forward, what you're going to see is many points in history where God is only going to be able to find one man. All right? Here's what it says. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. The word just, by the way, in the Hebrew means righteous. All right, and perfect in his generations. This does not mean that Noah did not have a fault. We'll read later on he did. But this means that he had a walk with God. He says, and Noah walked with God. Remember what it said about Enoch? He walked with God. Well, Noah is walking with God. It says, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, I want you to notice that the earth was corrupt, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, there's a very interesting scripture in our New Testament that talks about Noah, and the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness, okay? A preacher of righteousness. And so what does that mean? What does it mean that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, okay? So here's what I want us to keep reading. So Genesis chapter number six, and I want to begin reading with verse number 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So God says the earth is full of violence and the earth is full of corruption. I want to ask yourself the question, is our earth today filled with violence? Yes. Every day you're hearing about wars, rumors of wars. You're hearing about violence. Are politicians corrupt? Yes, people don't even know who to vote for anymore because everybody's corrupt. You know what? The earth is full of violence and corruption. That's the reason there's so many conspiracy theories out there, because people don't trust the government. They don't trust the ones in leadership. Why? Because there's so much violence and there's so much corruption in the earth. It's a very, very sad thing. But thank God for verse number 8. And this is where we're going to end this lesson. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Can I tell you today, even in the midst of all of our violence and all of the corruption in the world, hey, look, you can find grace in the eyes of God. You can stand out from the crowd. You may not be much as far as, you know, what the world would deem good looking. You may not be ultra talented and have a lot of talent. But can I tell you this? If you'll just walk with God, you can stand out from the crowd and God will spare you from the judgment to come. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity that we've had to be able to study the word of the Lord. God, I'm asking that you would continue to speak to us through your word, Jesus. Give us understanding and revelation. Lord God, I pray, touch the ears of every hearer and help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save our souls. We pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this Bible 101 episode. Please leave a comment to let us know what you think. Also email BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com. That is BibleTTabernacle29@gmail.com to leave us comments, questions, or maybe ideas for future episodes. Thank you so much for listening.